Right now, we're living in a world where there's a lot of, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, a lot of learning at a really, really rapid scale. So that's the direction technology is moving right now. And one thing I'm a little concerned about that is that biases get embedded into that technology in terms of, like, you know, how you're learning about people. So with that type of concern, I'm excited about emerging technology that can help combat it in different ways or can help rebalance.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Snyder on the Digital to Learn podcast, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
Hello.
We're back this week with Lai-Yi Ho of Delve. Welcome back, Lai-Yi.
Great to be back, Tiffany.
Thanks. And for our listeners, if you didn't get a chance to catch part one of this series, please go back and find the episode on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, and now Pandora. Let's go ahead and dive in for part two with Lai-Yi Ho.
So you probably have moments during the day when you are thinking about your product, which sounds like a living organism in many ways. And you think, hey, we could do this. And you talk to Alex, and then you can do it. Just the two of you deciding. That's wonderful.
It does mean, like, we have to be pretty disciplined. Like, just because we have the ability to build everything that people ask for doesn't mean that we do have the time for it. So another thing about Delve, too, is that, again, it's just the two of us. So we are pretty limited in what we can build. We can't build everything that everyone asks for every day. But what that means is we do hyper prioritization. So we'll only build something, you know, if it's something that either a lot of people ask for it, or it's something that the way that somebody presents it, like, okay, it really is going to make a big difference. Then we build it into the tool. And that also kind of plays into the differences between Delve and some other tools that have been around for a long time. If you compare Delve to other tools like Invivo or Atlas, Delve actually does have a lot less features. It doesn't have every single feature the other softwares have. But what we do is that every feature we build is done with a lot of thought, a lot of deliberation, and we specifically design it to be as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. So in design, something that looks really deceptively simple is actually a lot more work than just, you know, building every single thing. But yeah, part of, like, our constraint is really to just focus in on what's the most important thing to build.
So do you envision a day when you say, you and Alex say to one another, I think we've got it. Let's move on to something new.
Well, I feel like it's a constant journey. So every now and then, you know, we might have an idea about, like, another product offering to offer in parallel to Delve, but it would still be, like, the same kind of problem that we're trying to solve, which is how can we help people make sense of their qualitative data and find insights quickly. Yeah, it's possible we might reach a point at some point where it's like, okay, Delve, like, I think it's pretty solid, and this is a good opportunity now to work on something else, whether it's, like, transcription or, you know, report writing or some other aspect of the process. But I think there's always room to improve. Technology is always changing, and technology is always changing to better suit people's needs. Yeah.
I know you work with industry, but what has the intersect been like with higher education and, in particular, faculty who may use Delve?
So it's been really, really fun to build a product for higher education. So, I got my undergrad degree, but I actually don't have, you know, the master's and the PhD that a lot of our customers have when they're using Delve. So one of the most fun things about Delve is that when we build it and then we launch things, a lot of times faculty members will reach out to us and then say, hey, like, did you consider? And then they'll talk about a research method. And a lot of times it's one that maybe I haven't heard of before. And then I'll have a conversation with the faculty member, and then it's like a mutual learning process. Like, I'll be learning. I've learned about a lot of research methods, like, throughout the process of building Delve. I learned so much from the students that are using Delve. They're constantly teaching me. And then as they're teaching me and telling me about how they're utilizing methodology and how they're doing their research, I can then translate that back into the design. So I think what we've built now is kind of a system where people in higher education are teaching us, you know, what they're doing and what's the latest in terms of research methods or theory. And then we can translate that, build that into technology, and it's a cycle.
Yeah.
It's almost like you've personalized the development process by including your customers and colleagues as sources of information for what you do. And we don't hear that very often.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I think the expertise that Alex and I have is that we can translate needs into technology. And then for the customers that are using their tool, I mean, they're the ones that know the most about qualitative research and qualitative coding. So yeah, I think that partnership is really very important to us. Like, you know, being very accessible, being the chat person at the end, and then, you know, turning that into the tool.
The technology Flipgrid, they have an amazing network of ambassadors that promote their tool on Twitter, especially. They're all over Twitter, and I've picked up on that. And I have designated myself as an ambassador. You're going to have to come find me and tell me to quit it if you want me to do that. But I'm an ambassador of Delve, just posting about it on my doctoral network and sharing about it with colleagues and friends. So
amazing. Yeah. Thank you.
I just think it's so neat. And I'm hoping, you know, when there's something very personable, like Flipgrid came out of a university too built hype there. I just think when people have positive, personable experiences, they want to give back and they want to promote it and they want to tell their friends about it. That's the same kind of concept we're aiming for in higher ed with our courses. Is if students can have a positive and personable experience in that course, then they'll promote the institution, they'll go and tell their friends and family about it and encourage others to take those same courses. So
yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, I'm really interested in this connection between higher ed. I mean, you mentioned earlier that with the chat box, you're trying to do something in higher ed with that as well. Is that something where it's like students reach out and then, you know, instructors and teachers can immediately give feedback? Like,
yeah. Well, every institution looks a little bit different. And I think that there's experimentation happening at different places. But in the massive open online courses, they are using more of a chat box. I don't know if it's a real person. I don't think it is to provide immediate feedback. But we are reading more and more studies about how students value timely feedback, like above most other items in higher ed online. And so we're just trying to figure out how to scale that, because if you have a professor who has 25 students in their online course and all those students expect timely feedback, first of all, what equals timely in that student's eyes? What is immediate feedback or near immediate? And how do we offer that to everyone, especially if the instructor perhaps works a day job in industry and then, you know, is teaching a course on the side? Just really talking a lot about scale and what that could look like.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, that is, yeah, it does sound very similar to kind of how we try and build our process, but that timely feedback, like interaction between students and teachers very quickly, definitely helps with the experience a lot. So it's cool to, you know, think about how that can scale.
Yeah, we don't currently have, I mean, we have Instant Messenger on our learning management system, but by no means does it look like it does on Delve with a person and open chat window. It's just very basic. Brad, have you noticed anything?
I'm going to take up a little rabbit trail here. I hadn't thought about what you just described, but if you're in a class of some sort and you're in a classroom three times a week, you see the other 25 people in the room, and you see the professor. When you're in an online course, you kind of know there are other people in the class, but you feel like, at least, that you have a direct connection to the faculty members. So you keep submitting things and the feedback doesn't come back your way. And that's like, what's happening here? I'm in this course, I'm the most important one. Entirely different dynamic I'd never thought of before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It does inside my head.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying too, where you're not just observing other, you don't get a chance to observe your peers going, having their exchanges with the instructor. It's just about you and your exchanges with that instructor. and they become so heightened and so important.
That's your entire universe.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear Layi and Alex are engaged in that process as you've described and are really listening to what their partners have to say about their product. Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
Yeah, totally.
You know, the last comment I'll make about that feedback exchange that you offer in Delve that I think could be beneficial in higher ed is it says, how long until you'll be back? So if I message Layi or if I message Alex and I say, I have this question I'm running into, it will say with their picture next to it, I'm away right now, but I'll be back in 1 hour. And the time just ticks down. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that kind of knowledge about when to expect them to be back means I can go do a load of laundry or I can. Something about the awareness. I wonder if our faculty were to even help students with just a quick reply to say, I'm not available right now, but I will be able to get you a full response this evening or just some kind of projection forward in that feedback.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps a lot because when you get into a chat, I think the expectation usually is like immediate response. Like there's something about that medium that feels like it needs to be immediate. So yeah, if there's a way to just let someone know like, hey, like this is off hours or, oh, we're a little slow to respond today. I think that does free you up a little bit to, you know how much time there is before you can expect an answer.
Yeah.
So what kind of things do you see emerging in the UX world that we might see in the next 10 years?
So things emerging in the UX world, this entire topic right here, which is about how can you get personalized feedback at scale, I think is a really big thing that's happening, especially on an enterprise and business level that is making itself back to consumers. Because a lot of technology now, you know, bringing it back to the teacher and student example, technology can help with doing the divvying up of the messages, you know, things like that, or like doing a little bit more work before the teacher gets mm-hmm. there. If you've got a classroom of 25 students, it can be difficult for a teacher to respond to everybody all at once. But I think technology, you know, chats, you know, they can kind of maybe start to assess like what's more urgent and what's less urgent. Maybe can help prioritize for the teacher or, you know, just offer these little human things like it'll be another 3 minutes before they're back or another hour. There's a lot that technology can continuously do so that there's more personal experiences at scale.
And if you think of those 25 students, it's very likely that six of them have exactly the same question that could get six yeah. individual responses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's something, you know, talking about like repetitive or questions that are very similar. One thing that we have in our tool is that if a lot of people are asking the same question, we will just write an article answer. And most of the time, the article will be good enough. So like if somebody's asking a simple question like, oh, how do I add a code? We have an article written that, you know, has an animated GIF in there. It's got a video. It can show people. So we can just be like, oh, here's the article. Let me know if you have questions. Most of the time it'll answer. If not, they can just ask us a follow-up and then, you know, we can answer more personally.
Oh, I'm just curious, is there an emerging technology that you're excited about?
Yeah, so this was an interesting question. And I think that when I think about that, like an emerging technology I'm excited about, I think there's actually a lot of emerging technologies I'm concerned about.
Oh.
But then I do think that there's a lot of technology that can help mitigate that. So right now we're living in a world where there's a lot of, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, a lot of learning at a really, really rapid scale. So that's the direction technology is moving right now. And one thing I'm a little concerned about that is that biases get embedded into that technology in terms of like, you know, how you're learning about people. So with that type of concern, I'm excited about emerging technology that can help combat it in different ways or help rebalance. So another reason why Alex and I really focus on qualitative research for Delve is that we think that qualitative research and understanding context behind human behavior is really important, but at this moment in time, not really scaling as fast as, you know, some quantitative tools that exist for learning. We really have aspirations to make qualitative research more accessible and easier for researchers so that, you know, if you have a designer or a researcher working somewhere and they're building a technology where machine learning or artificial intelligence is moving at a really rapid scale, they can use something like Delve and do qualitative analysis to understand, you know, what is the impact of that technology that we're building right now? How are people reacting to it? And then how can I pull together those insights from qualitative research to balance out and make people stop and maybe ask the difficult questions about, you know, whether it's ethics or how's technology impacting? You can use qualitative to slow down and just really think about whether or not this is the direction it should be going.
Yeah.
Well, we do have one favor to ask, and that is, as Delve continues to grow and you begin contemplating a takeover of Microsoft, I want you to give us a heads up.
I'll send you a message.
Her assistant will send you a message.
Cool. Yeah, the chat box will notify everybody.
Chat robot.
Yeah.
Well, Aye, it's been such a great pleasure to have you with us today and to hear your passion for what you're doing. That's always so exciting. Mm-hmm. Always so great to hear. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yeah, thanks, Brad, and thanks, Tiffany. This has been really great. Thanks for inviting me onto your podcast.
And now millions of people will know your story.
Yay. Spread the word.
And to all of our listeners, you can check out resources related to the content today to Delve Tool on our website, www.digitaltolearn.com with a numerical 2. And you can also visit Lai's website, delvetool.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are 3 things we ask you to do. 1, come back and join us again. 2, tell your friends about us. And 3, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.